In the course of our studies, we have been looking in the book of Acts to find out about Christians. And just in the last few studies, we've been learning something about a Christian church and about a pastor. We have also had a chance to see something about a pastor's heart when we have been thinking together along the lines of Paul's address to the elders of Ephesus, as you find it in the latter part of the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. And now we're going on from there, and we're in the book of Acts, and we're going to turn to chapter 21 and begin to read. And when I read along in here, some of this is going to be a very routine record, but I think as I go along, you'll be able to see in it something of a Christian frame of mind. So let me start reading to you in chapter 21 at verse 1. And it came to pass that after we had gotten from them, that is, they left the elders of Ephesus there at Miletus, and had launched, had gotten into the ship, we came with a straight course unto Coos, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, that is, when we saw it, you know, that it doesn't mean that they found it like it hadn't been found before, but it means that as they sailed along, they saw it on the horizon, they saw Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria, toward Asia Minor, toward Syria, and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden. So far in these three verses, we've just got traveling. And this happens in life, too. There come days and there come times when all you do is just go. And you go from place to place and move on with things just like other people do. Verse 4, and finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days. I want to pick up that phrase, finding disciples. And I'd like to ask you a very simple question. How do you think they found them? Well, it's very obvious. They looked for them. You watch that. You're going to find out that everywhere Paul went, he looked for believers. Everywhere he went, he looked for Christians. And I'm going to make something of that. I think you and I would be wise anywhere we go to look for Christians. Just any time we get in with a group of people, look for Christians. Just as soon as you can find out if there's anybody there that's a believer. If you're moving into a community, look for Christians. If you have anything to do with any group of people anywhere, try and find out which one's a Christian. I want to tell you right now, we Christians, we need to stand together. It's an encouragement to find other Christians. And when they got to this place in Tyre, they found disciples. They stayed there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. This is something we've already mentioned before. Now, how could they say this to Paul through the Spirit? When they were having their prayer meetings, and in their prayer meetings they'd be praying for each other personally, and when as they were having their prayer and praying for each other personally, individuals would have the feeling in their heart that Paul was getting into trouble if he went to Jerusalem. They just had that sense of peril. And so they would speak, not because the Spirit led them to speak, but of themselves they would say, I feel in my heart you're going to have trouble. And they'd know that their hearts were open to the Lord. They were counting on the Holy Spirit guiding them, and they would feel that this is the way it was. Now, actually, as it turned out later on, we find out that Paul did have trouble. And when you would say, well, why was this given to him if it wasn't a warning? I'm not so sure it was so much of a warning to indicate he shouldn't go as it might be a warning to indicate that he should expect trouble when he came and be praying for it and to get ready for it. Actually, when they heard and when they knew in the Spirit that he was running into trouble, it should have caused them, I think, to pray for him and to support him in prayer. And of course they would tell him in all good faith and good conscience that he was going into trouble and he ought not to go ahead, but after all he was the one that was responsible, as it turned out. They said to Paul that he should not go up to Jerusalem, saying, if you go up there, you'll get into trouble. And when we had accomplished those days, they had finished the 7 days there, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city. I wonder if you've ever had that kind of an experience. It's a wonderful thing. When you're in with a group of Christian people and you're fellowshipping together with them, and you're launching out on a new career, a new course, you're making a new trip someplace, and they come down to see you off. It's always a wonderful thing to do. If you get a chance to go see people off at the train, you go to see them off at the bus, you go to see them off at the airport, You go down and see them when they leave. It's always a wonderful thing to do because it encourages them and it gives them a certain feeling of comradeship, which we Christian people need so much. And so they brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. Now, wait a minute. Don't pass that by right off without stopping to think. Would we do that? Would you do that? Would I do that? As a matter of fact, do you ever kneel? And don't mind if I now speak to you very personally. If you do not kneel when you're praying, you're missing a great deal. The human being as he is, the human nature as it is, it just prospers when you bend the knee to God. Believe me, in any part of the world, there's no language where this won't be understood. I don't care where it is on the face of the earth. When a man gets on his knees, it's a position of humility, and it's good for him. I think many and many a man's life would be changed if he practiced getting on his knees. I can tell you from personal testimony that no matter how hard and bitter one's spirit may be about things, and no matter how much burden you may have, no matter how much trouble you have, when you get on your knees and you'll stay on your knees for a while, it's just going to be different. I tell you right now, when a man gets up from his knees, he's just a different kind of man, really and truly. And he's a better man than he ever was before. These people right out there in the wide open went down to this seashore to get on this ship. They all went down there ready to go, and they knelt down on the shore and prayed. That's good. Now, you may not want to just practice that exactly, but I'd like to ask you in that connection, have you gotten to the place where you return thanks in restaurants? Why not practice that? I'm so happy to say that in my lifetime it has grown up a good deal. I think it started more fully after the Second World War. There's far more of it done now than there used to be. And I'm beginning to feel that we ought to do it. We ought to do it just because it's good for people. It's good for everybody. It's good for the people that don't even believe. It's for them to see that we acknowledge God and we honor God. I don't want to burden you about this, and I don't want to bind your heart about this, mind you, even about kneeling. I'm not going to put any pressure on you about that. Goodness knows you may have something wrong with your knees that you can't bend them, or you may be wearing clothes that don't suit themselves for kneeling. I realize that a lot of things can keep you from it. That doesn't change what I said. All I said to you was that kneeling is good for you. That's just all there is to it. And if you want to know why, it's just the kind of a person you are. In the same way, I'll tell you that a bow your head in prayer is good for you. And I'll tell you also that shutting your eyes in prayer is good for you. Now, I know that a man can pray with his head up, and he can look into the heavens. It's been done. And I know a man can pray standing. A man can pray lying on his face. That's been done, too. But I'm just saying to you that it's just a wholesome thing for you to do. They did it. We kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave, one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren, and abode with them one day. Notice there, they left this town of Tyre, where they had stayed for 7 days with these people, and where they had left in this prayer meeting on the beach just before they got on the ship. And now in verse 7, we read they came to the next city, Ptolemais, and saluted the brethren. Where'd they come from? That's another case of finding the brethren. It's a case of looking them up. They looked up the Christians, and they saluted the Christians, greeted them, and abode with them one day. Verse 8, the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. As you read along in here, and that's why I'm doing it openly this way, you can just feel how they went from Christian to Christian to Christian. It's a good thing to do. That's what I want to encourage you to do. I hope that you have found some Christian friends. I hope every single one of you have some personal Christian friends, and go and spend some time with them talking about the things of the Lord. It's good for you, really good for you. These people came into the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and abode with him. The same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, they stayed with him many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, bound his own hands and feet, and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. This is the same warning Paul's heard before, and here it comes again. This time the man took his belt, we would say, and he took the belt, tied up his arms, tied up his himself, both his hands and his feet, and then he said, That's the way it's going to be with the man that owns this belt. Now, in verse 12, When we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Made an impression on everybody else, said, Oh, don't go. Now listen to Paul in verse 13. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. He didn't deny these warnings. He didn't deny it was going to happen. And by the way, simply do not get the idea that this man is willful. Don't get the notion that he won't take advice. He's not getting advice. He's just getting an insight into what he is facing, and he has the strength to go ahead with it. Don't blame him for this. He is in the will of God, but the will of God means he's going to run into some bad weather. So he runs into bad weather. He's going to run into a storm. So he runs into a storm. The storm warnings are up. That doesn't mean he isn't going to sail. He's going to go, but he's going to have to ride out a storm. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, The will of the Lord be done. I don't want to be unkind about it, but that so oftentimes happens. We try every way possible to get our own way, and when we don't get it, we say, Well, the will of the Lord be done. Well, we can just be thankful we've got that to fall back on. You know, we could have started out with it. And the Apostle Paul was started going on with it all the time. Every single time that Paul held out, he was going to Jerusalem. He was holding out in the name of the Lord. And that was the way in which he was going. And so after those days, we took up the carriages and went up to Jerusalem. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us as we live and move and travel and move around in the world, that our eyes may be open to meet other Christian people. Bless us in our fellowship with them, and strengthen us in our common faith. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.